Well, as we're going along, and just the bombardiers was getting ready to drop the bombs, I took almost a direct hit on number 4 engine, and it was just hanging there. And so I fell out of formation to keep from blowing up and exploding and hiding some other airplanes. But then the fire put out, so we got back in formation. And then just as we dropped the bombs, they had a number 3 engine quit, and run away. In other words, it run away, we had to shut it down. But anyway, then I had 2 engines, and a B-24 on 2 engines is a streamlined brick. You know, it won't fly. So I tried to make it to Switzerland, because I was near Munich. When I got near Munich, the Abbeville boys, that's where they were based, and they come up and made one pass and knocked me down. So, and they captured me and spent the rest of the time as a guest of the Luftwaffe.
How long were you in prison, and what was it like when you got out?
I was in prison 15 months and one day. I guess maybe I've had happier days, but I don't recall. But it was a happy day.
Fred, tell them about the German woman.
Why don't you go sit.
Tell them about the German woman whose yard you landed in there when you bailed out of the airplane.
Yeah, she. I had this artery shot into here, and then I had different places where it shot up. And I used to fly in a khaki uniform all the time with a heated suit underneath. And that khaki suit was blood red, blood all over the place. So when I bailed out, this woman, she looked and acted a lot like my mother. She grabbed me, took me in her house and made me lay down on the couch. And I'm trying to keep from laying down and getting bloody. She can't understand me, and I can't understand her. But anyway, she laid me down and made me. And then she was doctoring me, and then the military came and got me and took me to the hospital. Put me in the hospital. I stayed 3 or 4 days in the hospital, I think it was. Then they took me to the prison camp. First I went to Frankfurt for interrogation, and then they put me on a train, and I traveled for 6 days and 7 nights up to East Prussia on the Baltic Sea near Danzig. And I stayed there until when the Russians started making a comeback. Well, then they moved me, going to get me closer into Berlin so that they could use us for bargaining power, get a conditional surrender. And I didn't make it, and they just walked around. We walked for 600-something miles, I think it was, from Danzig. They wanted to get us down to Berlin to use us as bargaining power, but we didn't make it. So just about the time Roosevelt died, on the 26th of April, they took the Luftwaffe guards, guys about your age, and gave us the old home guards, the guys 60 and 70 year old, as a guard. So we conned them into giving up with us. So we marched into the American hands and give up on the 26th of April, 45.
Now, when you answer this question, start by saying flying a B-24 was like, and then describe what it was like flying one of those planes on a mission. So start by saying flying a B-24 was, and then talk about it.
Well, flying a B-24, it was hairy at times, because it, but it's no worse than any other profession, I guess, but you had to have power. The B-24 had a Davis wing on it, and in order to, you had to have power. It's a good wing, it's flat, fast, carry a heavy load, but you had to have power, otherwise it was a dog. And so with 2 engines, you just don't do anything except gradually go down. And I've tried to make it to Switzerland, and when I got near Munich, well, the Abbeville boys come up and got me and shot me down. So then I spent the remaining time in POW.
What was going through your mind when you were first hit and you knew that you were the one that had the lives of your friends that were in your hands?
Well, I don't know what you're excited, you know, because it's you can't, like I say, the B-24 was a good airplane if everything was going good. But when it wasn't going good, is and then we had three guys. Two guys we threw out. One guy was dead, and we threw him out. And the other guy was shot up, took an explosive shell in the chest someplace. So we threw him out, and he died on the way down. And then the other one died after we got on the ground. But after the war, just me and two other guys all survived. They said the prison. And so I got a thing from the Air Force later on, and it's only the three of us survived.
How old were you, Fred?
I was 19 and flying a B-24 over Germany, of course. That was the age of practically all pilots and flyers in World War II. They was 18, 19-year-old. And they, of course, we'd gone in. They were making so many airplanes, they didn't have the people to crew them, so they took everybody. I was 19 flying, and the rest of the crew, all of them, was 18, 19-year-old. You know. Of course, now some of the department heads in service, well, they were old. They were, you know, the colonels and everything. They were in their 30s and in there.
And
most of us guys were all in the 19s and 20s, you know.
And tell me how old you are.
And now I'm older than dirt. 87. And
you just had a birthday, didn't you?
I had it in December. We had it in December.
December.
And thank goodness, I'm the most fortunate man in the world because apparently I'm in perfect health. I haven't had a cold in 30 years. Never feel bad. Can eat anything in the world that don't bother me. I worried when I was younger that when I got to be an older man that I'd have stomach problems because of not just eating potatoes and bread for 15 months. Well, hell, I think I've got a billy goat stomach because I can eat anything. Nothing bothers me. No such thing as indigestion.
And you're still flying?
And still flying. Still in good health. And still, like I say, I'm most fortunate, and of course, I never feel bad, never have a problem, you know.